Session number 24917, Frederick Hunt, Reeled 2, with some buzz.
These are some notes which I typed while at the first wing after demobilization, completely from memory, starting from Tilloy Wood. 1918, 13th of March, stood by at 4 a.m. in expectation of German attack. 21st, German attack started. 23rd, heavy shelling, we took refuge in a sap in the quarry. 24th, shrapnel burst hit my tin hat and boots. Most of brigade retired by transport. The remainder retreated into the caves in Tilloy. 26th, started work in the caves. Signals weak and the caves were damp. Movements were guided by D3 wires laid on the ground. 26th, Germans broke through on both sides. We retreated into the citadel in Arras. The Germans got no farther, and in the evening we were able to re-enter the caves via the sewers and recover some of our possessions. From now on till 30th of June, nothing happened up to that date. The war came almost to a standstill. Both sides were suffering from the Spanish flu. 30th of June saw a new naval gun on a rail mounting worked by a naval unit, calibre 14.5 inches, length of barrel 62 feet. The rail mounting had 32 bogies. 22nd of August, went for a walk, but it was too hot. I stepped under a tree and then had a swim before tea. 22nd of August. The final push began in earnest. We moved forward to Tilloy and Woncourt. 1st of September, moved on. The Germans laid a heavy barrage on the way We found an alternative but rather bumpy route, and 9 of us spent a crowded night in part of a cellar. Next day we found a sap and had a good sleep. Comment, Chevesi must have been a very pretty village. We erected the mast under heavy shelling. One piece of shell missed my nose by about 2 inches. Shortly afterwards, we had to dismantle it once more and move forward to Hendy Corps. Lots of German and Canadian corpses lying around, but no saps or dugouts and little else. Saw a German albatross bring down 2 balloons in flames, one which entangled the observer's parachute cord and roasted him all the way down. 7 balloons in 2 days. Moved on next day to Buissy, B-U-I-S-S-Y, near Caguicore. Had a very noisy reception from Fritz. Soon discovered we were in full view of the enemy. 13th of September, 2 of our men wounded and sent back to hospital. 14th of September, our worst night. High explosive and gas shelling all night. 16 men laid out and sent back to hospital. Cookhouse demolished. I received 41 zone calls in 35 minutes. Those zone calls were calls sent out for every battery within reach to respond. We went out in the moonlight to try and mend our telephone line. There was a gap of 10 yards. J Jerry started shelling again, so we decided it wasn't worth staying on and made a bolt for it. One man killed and five wounded. Next morning I had another go at repairs, but a shell fell right in front of me. I dropped in the mud and escaped injury. I retreated once more to the dugout. Fortunately, it was a howitzer and not a high-velocity gun. 29th of September, we moved on to Bourlon. After a long search, found a billet and erected our station. October the 1st, at 5 a.m., received orders to dismantle station and get into action at the new site at Sailly, S-A-I-L-L-Y, a suburb of Cambrai. We were taken there in an FWD and had the station in action by 7 a.m. next day. I took a short walk around, saw many English dead, but not many Germans. Heavy shelling close to the billet. Wireless line broken in four places. Four men were hit just outside. Gas shelling for most of the night, but no casualties, fortunately. 7th of October, shelling getting worse. 8th of October, intense bombardment. Very difficult to hear signals, even with blanket wrapped around one's head. 9th of October, Germans retreating rapidly, leaving Cambrai in flames. There was one point I noticed in Cambrai. I came across some German small arms ammunition. The cartridges had wooden bullets. I also noticed that nowhere did we see a trace of food. 9th of October, Germans retreating rapidly, leaving Cambrai in flames. We moved forward in front of the town. 10th of October, moved forward to Escudeuve. We found a cellar under a cottage, and after fixing up the aerial, we collected two armchairs, some dining chairs, a table, plates and glasses. Everything we needed. Commented I could stay here for duration. Next day the place was smothered in dust from gunfire of 239 siege battery close by. 18th of October, moved forward to Iwuy, I-W-U-Y. Found a cellar, cleared it, and making a passable billet. I found a good iron bed with spring mattress. 20th of October, all day hundreds of civilians poured into the town, having been rounded up by the retreating Germans and pushed over the line to avoid having to feed them. They were in a pitiful condition, having had to walk through rain and mud for 10 kilos, pulling or pushing their belongings. They were fed as far as possible by our commissariat. Moved forward to Avain-le-Sec, fixed up in an estaminet, the best billet we ever had, everything we could need except for beer, wine or other drinks. The Germans had been there first. 31st of October, moved forward to Hesper. November the 1st, was sent to replace a casualty at 290 siege battery. Arrived just as the battery was moving on. They were 6-inch howitzers. On arrival, I found a cellar and fixed up the station before turning in. 2nd of November, we worked part of the day in cooperation with 235 siege battery. Packed up the station in the afternoon and stood by until morning. Arrived at a new station about 9 o'clock. We dug ourselves into a funk hole and slept well. 3rd of October, up at 6:30 and got the station in action. Not the best of billets, probably next to the worst I've ever had. 4th of November, Germans retreated further back, and we were soon out of range, or rather our howitzers were. 9th of November, standing by in case the enemy made a stand, but he never did. 11th of October, I'm sorry, 11th of November, rumour spread and afterwards confirmed that hostilities had ceased. An uncanny silence all over the whole countryside. 14th of November, moved to number 8 Brigade, RFC. 1st of December, moved into Annalan, about 17 kilos from Lille. On the way, we passed through Valenciennes, which appeared very busy and prosperous. The next few days, we spent some time in setting rabbit traps and had one or two meals of stewed rabbit. Weather hard frozen. 22nd, took a walk to Fontaine, a large village which had been burnt out by the Huns. December 25th, the brigade had a Christmas dinner consisting of pork, turkey, Christmas pudding, custard and apples, cigarettes and cigars. Drinks, lime juice, grenadine and beer. 14th of January, withdrawn with all operators to the squadron. January 31st, had a very bad night. In the morning, the MO saw me and sent me on a stretcher to the hospital, actually number 57 CCS, next to a French school, used as a POW enclosure. This French school was housing a number of German officer prisoners. The ground was frozen hard, but the officers were in the dress they were where they were captured in action. Very little clothing, and they were practically no food. We heard that they were supposed to be reprisal prisoners, but they were slowly starving to death. A number was pushed over into our hospital. A number of them actually died in hospital. The hospital chief was getting very concerned about this, and eventually on their death certificate he wrote death by starvation. It was a terrible sight to see those poor German prisoners being ill-treated by the French. 11th of February, I was discharged from hospital. A hospital acquaintance gave me a lift in his Tin Lizzie, the first car I'd ever ridden in. The old Tin Lizzie of those days. Moved to the wing headquarters, but found them just moving out. I went to my billet, but found that all my personal possessions had been stolen. I went on to a new billet and managed to get a bed of sorts. 14th of February, the freezing weather ended with rain. 21st of February, a stroke of luck. A man booked for leave had already been demobilized, and the pass fell to me. I left on the same day and arrived home next day at 9 p.m. 8th of March, left home and arrived next day at Saint-Omer, made inquiries about my papers, but with no success. They had been never been moved from 81st Heavy Artillery Brigade. 11th of March, received my demo papers and left for Dunkirk. spent all next day in the camp. Up at 5 a.m., moved off about 7 a.m. and marched to the docks about 3 or 4 miles and embarked on the Queen Elizabeth. That's one of the old Ostend boats. At Dover, we were marched up to the hill to the castle, and after 4 hours, received my demob and £2 cash as allowance in lieu of a civilian suit. Marched back down the heart of the station, bound for home. I haven't commented on the RFC wireless officers who were responsible for our survival. They were a very loyal lot and looked after their operators extremely well. I received one example of their loyalty to their operators. Our visiting corporal, who billeted with us, had been with us for some time, a very friendly man. We used to share our parcels and cigarettes, and we were a very happy little trio. But then, one day the visiting corporal was transferred to another unit. In his place, there came a regular soldier transferred from a regimental unit. I don't know why. He was very unfriendly, and we could make no progress in conversation with him. I made one try by asking him if he had any hobbies at home. He said, yes, hunting and shooting. I gave up at that. 2 mornings later, he returned to the dugout after his doing his rounds or whatever he'd been doing. And his first words were, "Hunt, those guy ropes are loose. Go and straighten them." I was brushing out the dugout with an old broom at the time. So I said, yes, all right, I'll just finish this. He said, "Go and straighten those guy ropes." That rather annoyed me, but I said, all right, when I finish this. He got up and walked straight out of the dugout. Next morning, a tender from the squadron arrived with 2 officers and came into the dugout. One of the officers I knew well. He frequently visited the dugout to see that the station was working and collect our log books. "Oh, Hunt," he said, we've been informed that you were guilty of refusing to obey an order." Well, that was rather a shock, because that is a court-martial case. I gave full explanations, word for word. He listened carefully and then retreated to the other officers, and they carried on a quiet conversation. He returned to me and then said, "I don't think you'll hear any more from this. By the way, how's your thumb?" Oh, that was referring to an incident a week before when, in chopping wood, I chopped the top off my thumb. The officer was quite right. We never heard any more from it. But the visiting corporal disappeared next day, and we never saw him again.